money.
Let's talk money.
I don't have your money.
I know I'd be a lot happier with some extra cash.
Is this about money?
Obviously, this is all about money.
Oh, man, we got bills to pay, buddy.
With practical tips and a focus on scripture, let's talk money. With Dave and Reb. From More Than Enough. Real conversations about money for real people. Let's talk money.
Are you ready to talk money, Reb?
I'm ready to talk money.
Welcome to the show. This is the show where Dave and Reb talk about the hard issues around money. If you're a first-time listener, welcome. We always give a shout-out to the people listening the first time. If you've been a long-time listener, we love you just as much. Don't worry. And we're so thankful that you're here. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're listening in the car here in the Ottawa area on 99.1 or the expanded, I should really remember, like, it's 88. Yeah, I can't remember what the call numbers
don't
are for CHRI.
Don't say it if you don't know it.
Just saying I should. Should remember them. But if you're listening from Montreal, West Island, that's a new audience that CHR has reached to. So welcome if you're listening Friday mornings, 9 o'clock. We are so glad to have you. And of course, if you're listening on a podcast, whenever and wherever you're listening, thank you for listening in. Today's show is sponsored or partnered or brought to you by LTR Industries. And if you're in the Ottawa area,
I was going to say it's brought to you by the letters LTR.
Back to our Sesame Street days.
I know. I think I recently did that too, but another show. Anyway, so, yes, sorry. Okay. Sorry, Brian, if you're listening, I couldn't resist.
As you can tell, we're pretty off script here a little bit, but just to get back on script, LTR Industries is a architectural millwork company, and essentially most of us spend a good chunk of time working in a space that's not our home. So we spend a lot of time making our home a beautiful space. What LTR does is make your workspace a beautiful space. Mm. And so they build spaces for really more commercial type environment. So if you're looking for a beautiful workspace to work in, maybe give Brian and his team a call and say, well, how can we make our space more beautiful? So that's the short version of what LTR does. You can reach out to them at ltrindustries.com. Yes. So ltrindustries.com.
Okay. Are you done now?
I'm done.
Okay. Wonderful. Hi, Ray.
Hi there.
Ray's back for another, show. You've been on most regularly this year, but every once in a while we
have a little celebration to do, you know, Ray. I mean, it's that time of year, and that doesn't mean
what's
Ray.
What's this time of year? Is there something happening with Ray?
No, there's something happening in Canada.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. I know. It's June 27th. We're not quite at, it is the 27th, I think. Yeah. We're not quite at Canada Day yet, but it is on in a few days' time. And as we try and do every year, because we've been doing this for like 8 years, having a themed, you know, discussion around Canada Day, because Canada is 158 years old.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to note that I am the only one wearing red today. Just to point that out.
Yes, you are. Thank you for wearing red. I thought about getting a Canada flag in here, but you know, because there's so much more patriotism happening than I am used to in our country because of the last 6 months of I don't know.
Discussion. We'll call that discussion.
Discussing from the south of the border about us becoming a 51st state, and then having like a month ago, having the king, our monarch come to give the throne speech. And it's a significant, if you don't understand the significance of King Charles coming because you're not a monarch follower, or you don't understand the political system that we live in. We are a monarchy. And if someone says, you know, even mildly threatens Canada, it's not just to Canada. It's because we're part of the Commonwealth of Britain. And his coming was kind of a statement of like, I'm standing here and, you know, what was that last phrase, Ray? You and I had been talking about it. Yes. Indeed, Canada is
The true north is indeed strong and free.
Right. That was,
love it. Yeah, I mean, it had a pretty significant, this is totally off topic again, but to see the two of them, the king and
Camilla, yeah.
Being politically correct there, but to see them sitting in those chairs in Parliament to see, I mean, that's the first time since 1977 that a monarch has actually read the throne speech. And, mm-hmm. and so that's very significant.
Well, and it's super interesting because the only other two times was in, I think it was 1955. They said the queen came in 1977 and they came, or she came at times when Canada one was, struggling with allegiance to the monarchy. I think that was 1955. And in 1977, it was a real push from Quebec to leave Canada. Mm-hmm. And she came at that time as well, just about the time that our constitution was repatriated. Mm-hmm. So there's a significance to these three visits. And for the king to come at such a time as this is really, like, I think we're all standing up and taking notice, of the significance of it. But it did bring me to a couple of thoughts. Ray called me and said, okay, you've given us enough fodder for like three shows. Where are we going with the show? Because like, what do you talk about on Canada Day? Well, we're talking about like patriotism and freedom and liberty yes. and all of that, you know, because we hear a lot about freedom from the US all the time. You know, July 4th is their big freedom day. But for us, I think the language has come to the forefront of our minds because all of a sudden we're like, oh, there's some things being said south of the border that we're not liking. And it's actually drawn us together as a nation, even with all of our differences. We're like, no, we're not becoming American. Like, just so you know. And I don't know what you've thought about the king coming to visit or what you've thought about that, Ray, because you pray for Canada. You spend a lot of time listening to the Lord about this.
You know what? I think it was significant to have him and the Queen Consort come and to once again kind of reestablish a statement, you know, in the natural realm and in the spiritual realm, you know, about the connection. And so, Lord, you are doing something, orchestrating something in this season. So, scripture talks about there are markers,
right? Mm.
And he established markers. He established the markers of the nations. Actually, it says that, and I can't remember where in scripture, but once again, it was a reassertion that the markers that the Lord established through the establishment of Canada, which we're reminded of on Canada Day, he was just saying, once again, I have established these markers. Mm.
And that is a consolation, actually, for any of us who are feeling there's a lot of fear at the same time, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of fear and anxiety happening for all kinds of reasons around money and economic instability, but also like, what do you do when someone threatens, you know, even though it seems like a joke sometimes, like that we would become the 51st state, there's more seriousness to it. Then I sometimes get a bit credit to. So it's really neat that you say that and that that God is watching over us and caring for these things. One of the questions that came to my mind because of this day in history, because of the work we do at More Than Enough and some of the scripture I've been reading and thinking about, there's a story in John 1 where the disciples, John has two of his disciples and Jesus comes along and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples, it says in verse 37, hear him and speak. And then they follow Jesus. And Jesus turns to them and says, "What do you seek?" And then they say, "Rabbi," which is to say, teacher, "where are you staying?" And I always think that's a really funny, you're following Jesus and you're like, where are you putting your head to sleep tonight? Like, you know, you got a hotel, you know, I
love the practicality of it. Yeah, right? Yeah.
You know, anyway, it's such an interesting question, but then he says to them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. But what what jumps out at me is that question, because I think in this time when we are looking for some stability, we're looking like, you know, for the king to come brings us some kind of peace that we know that we're part of a bigger picture. You know, and then I was thinking about, like, are we trusting in the king? Are we trusting in government? Is that, as Christians who say we follow Jesus, is that where we are we to put our hope? And then I hear, you know, your wife Arlene has been saying this verse a lot from the Psalms, you know, some trust in chariots and horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord. And I'm like, what are we putting our trust in? What are we? And then I got to that question and I read it in scripture. And I'm like, oh Lord, maybe you're asking that of us today. Like, what is it that we're seeking? You know, what are we looking for? Are we looking for government and the higher powers to, you know, save us, in quotes? What is it we're seeking on this Canada Day when we're reflecting about where we're positioned as a nation? You know, what are we looking for as individual Canadians?
Well, and now we're taking a poll. You can all click somewhere because, as you said, I mean, this is such an individual question.
I should have a Survey Monkey. It is an individual question, but I mean,
I think this is when we start to think about this when our freedom gets challenged or our norm. Maybe I'll just say our norm gets challenged and we go, wait a minute. Like, you know, for example, the current example, when somebody says, well, I don't think you should be Canada. I think we should become part of the state. And we're like, wait a minute. That's our sovereignty. That's our freedom. That's our identity. Like, all of these things are wrapped up in being a Canadian. And then we go, well, okay, so what exactly? I start thinking about it and I start going, now, what is it that I really want to hold on to? What is it that defines me as a person, as an individual? But then, of course, we talk about this in light of Canada Day, going on the bigger picture, we all are Canadians. What does that mean, right? Like, what does that mean for us? And I think there's a definition there. So I don't know if that speaks to the question you're asking, Reb.
No, I'm not sure what you mean, but I am thinking about wanting the freedom to be who we want to be. We don't want to become a 51st state. I think sometimes I hear conversations and like, let's just rewind a few years to go back to pre-COVID, because pre-COVID, there was low interest rates. There wasn't the inflation there is. People weren't dying. You know, the hard things weren't happening. And now there's just this escalation of things that we can't even explain. And I don't know. Is that what we're looking for? Are we looking for the ease and comfort just to live our lives the way we want to?
You know, this scripture you read from John 1, 35 through 39, it made me think about how the disciples, they followed John the Baptist. And they would have heard about Jesus. So then suddenly John's saying, behold, the Lamb of God. It's like, okay, all my Torah training is suddenly coming into focus here. There's a Messiah coming. Is he really the one? And is he the Messiah who's actually going to deliver us from the Roman occupation at this point? Is this going to shift things in government and all that kind of stuff?
Right.
And so, you know, Jesus asking them, what is it that you seek? You know, I think there are layers to that question, you know, like I had the same reaction when I read them. It's like, where are you staying? Well, what does that got to do with anything, you know? But in another sense, yet for them, it's like, who are you and what is it you're going to do? What's your agenda that you're going to do? How are you going to do that? And they were looking to him to do something perhaps was in their perspective, but wasn't really in the heart of the Father and in the heart of Jesus. And so in this season, what are we looking to, in some senses, for deliverance? Right? I think the whole dialogue around tariffs and the implications of that, are there tariffs? Are there not tariffs? They're impacting some places. They're not impacting in other places.
Right.
And I don't know. I'm feeling like that ground really isn't settled yet.
It is not.
At this point. And the markets reflect that. So it's like, okay, where are we really at? And so what am I leaning into at that point? Mm-hmm. Do I want to rely on the government for that? Or am I actually saying, Lord, I need to just look at you? And I'm seeking a place to live in freedom mm-hmm. so that I'm not reacting to the unsettledness of the ground and all mm-hmm. the voices going on around there. My heart is to seek, Lord, what is you're saying in the midst of this? Mm-hmm. And how do I walk in a place of freedom?
So you're saying that freedom is possible even when the adversity on the outside.
I believe so. Yeah. I believe there's a place where we find our identity in him, a sense of rootedness, a sense of contentment, a sense of joy. Mm. It's not a passing emotion, but recognizing what he's done. And those are all externals. And at some point, I'll be in his presence. But here, as I'm walking out in the natural, there's a place of freedom. If I allow the Spirit of the Lord to do a deep work in my heart, then I think there is a place. I think Paul found that because mm-hmm. he struggled with all the circumstances. And, you know, we read all the stories about what he encountered. But yet there was a place where he just was content in the Lord. Mm-hmm. So secure in the love of the Father, knowing he was doing things, whether it was adversity or in plenty, mm-hmm. he knew that place.
Mm-hmm. Because he does say that in Philippians 4. Mm-hmm. I was just reading that with some friends recently. Again, I've learned to be content with much and with little. And then that great verse that we often don't give context to it, but it is... it's through Christ I do it. He's the one who strengthens me for that contentment and that peace. I mean, if freedom is one of the things we're looking for. I mean, we were reading. I'm hoping you're going to read some Galatians verses soon.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. because it talks about freedom. It talks about liberty. Mm-hmm. And I think
picking up on what you said, Ray, I think this is in a sense a calling for all of us who believe in Christ. This isn't a selective. And so we started by saying some of these thoughts are individual or have an individual perspective. But I think as Christians and maybe even as humans that God is saying, okay, I have called you. And this is how it's written in Galatians 5. So I'll just jump right into that because Paul does write Galatians 5:13, for you brethren have been called to liberty. So there's a sense of God's calling on us as humans is to freedom. And I think, again, we could probably spend many shows talking about freedom and how God really his heart and desire is for us to all walk in, and then let's define what freedom looks like. But here's Paul just writing it cleanly and plainly. He says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only don't use this liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. And he says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. And so freedom, liberty, what we're talking about is actually, as Paul says, learning to love our neighbor and our neighbor loving us.
I don't think that's what the answer I want when I think, oh, great. So you're telling me I have to love. Great. I'm tired of loving people. I'm like,
isn't it incredible how the kingdom of God is so different from the if I were to ask, take the poll and say, what does freedom look like? I can guarantee you a high majority of people would say, it looks like I got $1 million in my bank account and I can do whatever I want to feed whatever appetite I have at any time that I have that appetite. I would say a vast majority of us some way would express freedom in that
like
way.
Financial freedom. Also mm-hmm. like money. If we have money there, we think we're going to be freer that's with it. but what is freedom? I mean, we can't, like you said, we'd have a whole subject of conversation on a podcast for this. Maybe we'll do that yet this year with you, Ray. But what does that look like?
Well, it's interesting because if you say, you know, that verse 13 there, Do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another. I mean, serving the flesh is really serving self.
Yeah.
Right.
And our own agendas, our own desires, as you mentioned, Dave, and our own need for recognition. I mean, some of those things aren't sinful in themselves, but if they become active things that we are pursuing rather than the freedom that comes, as Paul says here, is to love and serve one another.
Mm-hmm. And let's kind of do a little practical thing, right? Because this does play out in something quite as simple as, and of course, this is a money show. I'm in the grocery line. I look over and in my heart, I see somebody and I think, oh, geez, you know, I maybe should pay it forward at the grocery line. And so you do. And yes, it takes money to do that. And yes, it in a sense takes some self-sacrifice to do that. That's what Paul is saying here is that, hey, there's an opportunity. Freedom is being able to do that. And then, of course, all of the things that surround that is you as the person who does it. Life comes into you. You experience that joy. You experience some of that. The person that you're serving, they're like, well, what are you doing? I mean, I have money to pay for groceries. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, but I just wanted to do that for you. That's my expression of love to my neighbor, even though I may not know you personally. And that can play out in all kinds of ways. But practically speaking, I think this is what Paul's alluding to is that we all have resources. And part of our freedom, part of our liberty is actually being generous with those resources to learn to love one another. And there's a cost to that.
There is. I mean, you know, this past weekend, I get a phone call from our neighbor's daughter. She says, Ray, can you go over to my mom's? She's got a water leak. And my daughter's over there, but she needs a hand. I'm so sorry to bother you. Said, no problem. We're glad to do that. So Arlene and I head over there next door. The garage door is open. So we just kind of walk in. I'm yelling her name. And finally, I'm yelling down the stairs. And so she says, come on down. So we go downstairs and the tap to outdoors must have cracked leaking in the ceiling. And so in their guest bedroom in the basement, all the water had seeped down into the hardwood floor and all the paint was all sagging and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, no.
So here her granddaughter's trying to turn off the faucet, which is up there. And so we start going through there, move all the wet stuff and mop up the floor and all that kind of stuff. And our neighbor lady is just looking at us and she's just saying, you're such wonderful neighbors, such wonderful neighbors. What would I do without you? This is not, but it was like, it interrupted the flow of what we're doing. So you just kind of drop everything. Mm-hmm. And I think we are both into the midst of some pretty significant things. And it wasn't just a 1 minute go in to do that and help her with all that kind of stuff. And then the crew from Paul Davis came in suddenly from the insurance company to start looking at things. And I'm looking and saying, so what are you going to do? Because the mattress is now moldy. That needs to be pulled out of here.
Yeah.
And so it was like being there and just being available. It was like, okay, Lord, I'm serving here in this kind of stuff. This is the freedom you talk about that we can respond as you ask us to do to serve our mankind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is literally serving your neighbor, like literally serving your neighbor, the neighbor that is right next door, right?
So. And I think, you know, to talk about, there's liberty we have because we live in the political environment we do have liberties, we do have freedoms that give us flexibility and going to serve our neighbor. But then there's the freedom we have in Christ Jesus, the freedom that he has redeemed us and he has cleansed us and he has, he says, if you don't die to your flesh, you know, you're going to have no part of me. You die daily, you take up your cross daily, and then we're resurrected in life with him. But that, you know, I think one of the things that has helped me, funny thing, waking up in the morning and saying, my life is not my own. My life is yours, Lord. And that sets my mind in a better frame. So when those interruptions come, not that I do it perfectly. I'm sure, Ray, you don't always do it. You know, we go grumbling sometimes. Or like, you know, but I had this plan. It was my day off. And now I have to help my neighbor. You know, we're going to sometimes do it reluctantly. But he does commend us. And then following verses talk about walking by the Spirit and that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. I should sing the VBS song.
Yeah, that's
you know, you guys are singing the VBS songs out there, you know. But like it's the liberty we have in Christ. So no matter what kind of political system, because they had Rome and they were oppressive. Rome was oppressive and was sending Christians to the lions. And
such a wonderful picture though, that you mentioned that in the sense of saying, look at the life of Christ, you know, comes in, you know, is born and immediately has to leave the country because of oppression and you know, comes back and essentially grows up in an occupied territory by a foreign power, right? And you know, looking at Christ, and what did he do? He walked around and the people that he was near him, he healed the sick, he taught the good news. He did that all under this umbrella of corrupt, oppressive government that's in. And so we have a certain amount of freedom here in Canada in 2025 to say, you know what, you might have a different opinion about corrupt government. We're not getting into that today, but to go, we can still love our neighbor. And that's
because
really
our liberty comes from being in the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I mean, this Canada Day, that is, I guess, our thing that we leave you with is how can you serve, use the freedom that you have in Christ Jesus to serve and love your neighbor? Because it says clearly in Galatians, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Don't bite and devour one another, because you're going to consume each other then. And that's not what we want to do. How can we use our liberty this Canada Day on the 158th birthday of our nation to bring God's kingdom and the love of Jesus into another person's life?
Mm-hmm. Lord, and that's the question we're just going to ask you today is that you would open our eyes and our ears to see our neighbors, but then motivate our hands and our feet and our minds to love our neighbors in these practical ways and use the resources that you have given us in our hands to do that. And so, Lord, we thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Ray, for being here again.
It's good to be with you guys again.
Yeah. And any final notes to, you know, all of the Canadians go out, you know, think we did that.
Did that already, but we want to thank LTR Industries for their support and sponsorship of this show today. And again, we'll talk to you next week when we talk money.
Let's Talk Money is a division of More Than Enough Financial Fitness, where God is transforming hearts and bringing hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. For more information or to comment on today's show, please visit morethanenough.ca.